But as soon as that starts to pull us away from the blesser, we're in trouble. If you will, turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 6. I want to look a little bit at Daniel's life. Daniel was an extremely consistent man throughout his life. Ever since he appeared on the pages of the Bible, he was a very consistent man. Daniel, chapter 6, it says, and it verse 1, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Daniel was in a position where he was number two to the king, and he was there to protect the king's interest. Verse 3, and it says, and I want to key on this verse, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because he had an excellent spirit, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. So we know the story, how in this situation the others conspired against Daniel, and they convinced Darius to declare a decree that no one would pray to their gods, and they would only worship Darius and bow down to Darius during that time. And we know that Daniel did not agree to do that. He stayed consistent in his prayer life, and he suffered the consequences by being thrown in the lion's den. And we all know the story that the Lord shut the lion's mouths, and Daniel was not harmed. God can do that in our lives as well. Daniel, let's look a little deeper at his life, because I wonder, how was he so strong to go into a lion's den or to stand up to the king's decree, knowing that certain death was what was coming his way? He survived. During Daniel's reign, he actually survived six kings before Darius reigned. He was the right-hand man for multiple kings. How many bosses have y'all survived in your lives? Yeah, me too. Daniel ultimately had to maintain consistency through six different kings. So how was Daniel so strong? How did he have the strength to stand, the strength to trust so deeply, to influence so greatly, to be used so purely? I want to take you back to when Daniel first appeared on the pages of the Bible. And in the book of Daniel, chapter 1, it says that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, seized Jerusalem. He sent a eunuch to take the best of the children out of Israel. Daniel was one of these children, and he had three other boys with him. And I see Brother Adam knows who they were: Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were all captured and brought to serve. The first test of Daniel in this situation was no greater than the lion's den test. The king told the eunuch to feed the men from the table meat and wine so they'd look fatter and stronger than the others. The king says, my table has the sustenance, and I want these boys to stand out. I want these boys to stand tall, and I want these boys to be special. Well, Daniel refused to eat from the king's table. He did not want to defile himself. He convinced the eunuch to feed the other kids from the king's table. And for 10 days, and for him, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were going to eat pulse. What in the world is pulse? Pulse is anything that's grown from a seed. So Daniel said, we're going to be vegetarians for these 10 days. And we're going to prosper because that's what God's commanded us to do in this situation. And we're going to prove that my God, even through a vegetarian diet, is going to sustain me over what the fat that the king would have on his table. And after 10 days, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were healthier and fatter than the rest. Daniel started out with courage in this situation, and he maintained courage with consistency throughout his time in the kingdom. So Daniel's rise. Daniel started as a captured child and went on to serve, as I said, six kings. He elevated to the height above all princes and presidents. Daniel 6:3 says it was because he had an excellent spirit in him. When we think of him, we think of the dramatic lion's den, but his real story and strength was gained by his consistency with God. The lion's den event didn't come to a moment, come from a moment of belief. It came from a consistent lifetime of belief. In order to take on something as scary as a lion's den, you have to already have stability under your feet. You have to already have the courage built in because you've lived the life that God has been able to implant that into you over the years. So few of us are seeking that these days. So few of us realize the strength that can come from quiet consistency in everyday life. And another disclaimer, I struggle from this. I struggle around this. So this lesson is as much to me as it is to anyone else in here. A few years ago, I guess about 10 years ago now, my wife and I built a new house. And we built it off the road, kind of back and behind the trees. And that land hadn't been touched for a long time. It was probably decades. It was grown up. First thing I noticed was there was a lot of cane growing because there was some wet land down there. And I started clearing out the cane and got that in pretty good shape. And then I had to get the briars that were wrapped around all the trees. And I pulled so many briars out of this area that I would pile it up like brush and burn it. So it was nasty. I did that year after year after year. And eventually I noticed with the consistency of working that property, I wasn't pulling out massive cane and massive weeds and massive briars anymore. I was just, the next year, I was just kind of cutting the sprigs that were coming up. But I have to admit, in the last two or three years, I've slacked off of my land clearing, and it's starting to build back up again. Lack of consistency brings weeds into our lives. So when I do go back out and reengage in that situation, it's going to be three times, four times, five times as hard as it would have been had I not just stayed consistent in that job. I noticed while I was keeping it clean that there was a bunch of ferns hidden out there that weren't able to prosper amongst the briars and the cane. And as soon as I had it cleared out, ferns, massive ferns, were just showing up all over the place. And I'd just say if we can really focus ourselves on keeping consistency in our lives, we can have more ferns and flowers than we do weeds and briars. Prosperity comes from daily habits and daily discipline. It's easy to get caught in destructive and bad habits in our daily life. There's a book out there, I'd recommend it. It's called The Power of Habit. It describes the human psychology, and it's like this. All habits are made up of this. There's a trigger, there's an action, and then there's a reward. Okay, so let me give you an example. A smoker would recognize this because, okay, I get stressed, that's the trigger. I smoke, it relaxes me, that's the reward. So the book tells you you can break these cycles in your life it says you can't stop the trigger. We live amongst triggers in our life. But what you can do is you can replace the action with a healthy one and not a destructive one. So the reward is still there and we're better for it. For instance, I get stressed. Instead of smoking a cigarette, I go take a 10-minute walk, get my heart rate up, and I get the endorphins that naturally occur when you exercise a little bit. I relax. It's a much healthier behavior. And if you do that sort of thing consistently over time, replacing bad habits with good habits, you end up with a big jar full of nickels at the end of the situation. So I'm talking about something that's real here. We can see over time how consistency would help us and put us in a situation where we would have more ferns and flowers than weeds and briars. We can truly gain our strength from God, and He can bless us through his righteousness and goodness and righteousness. We all have to make a decision about God and about Jesus. It's a choice we all make. If we decide not to make a choice, then we've made a choice. There's no escaping deciding how we feel about Jesus. C.S. Lewis, I love this quote out of, I think it was Mere Christianity. He said, we all have to decide if Jesus was a liar, a lunatic, or if he was Lord. He claimed to be the Messiah. He had to be one of those things. He either had to really be the Messiah, or he had to be a lunatic, or he had to be a liar. Well, if we decide that he is Lord, then we have to react to that in our lives as if he is Lord. And we have to trust him with our consistent behaviors and our habits to bless us according to his word. I heard a radio preacher say one time, he broke it down to where I can really understand it. And he said, I'm paraphrasing, but let me just say it this way. You cannot get away from the either-or logic when it comes to whether Jesus is the way, the only way. Other religions make him to be a teacher or a prophet, but either he was God or he was not. Saying that all other religions are also true and Christianity is also true is embracing a logic that allows contradictory things to be simultaneously true. Here's the part where it starts to get clear to me. He says it's like trying to defend the existence of a stick with only one end. Let me go out in the yard and pick up a stick and try to convince yourself that it only has one end. Some things just can't be true. So it can't be true that Jesus was the only way and that Jesus was the Messiah, but also all the other religions are also a way. Daniel lived a true life only concerned with God's view of him, not concerned with perception of others. I think we put a lot of energy into the perception of others in today's society. Probably always been true, but technology has really enabled us to really put a lot of energy into what others think of us. I'm not real big on social media. I kind of didn't get on that bus. Maybe I'll catch the next bus. Maybe I'll be an AI expert or something. I don't know. But I'm still guilty of this in aspects of my life, even though I'm not necessarily on social media. But I do want to point out that the online version of ourselves are often biased. They're often biased, filtered, and inflated to present an image that's cultivated, maintained, and presented. A lot of energy goes into that across America to make those images, those cultivated images, be presented. Many of us find a great deal of value in how our friends and followers view us. And that view is shaped from a distance in a lot of cases. In a lot of cases, they never see us face to face. They only see our online presence. So, in some cases, if they saw us in person, they recognize us because the image they've seen for maybe many years is influenced by filters and features that are applied to the photographs before they're posted. Am I speaking the truth or no? Okay. So I have no intention of insulting anyone because I'm guilty of this in aspects of my life as well. But I do want to draw your attention to the fact that that's a distance, a long way away, looking through filters when someone's viewing your life. You know, I have found that a buzzard looks pretty majestic when it's way off as well. I personally, if it's high enough and you know it's kind of soaring in the wind, I can't tell the difference between a buzzard and an eagle. But eventually, the buzzard has to land. And when it does, and when you can see it up close, it can't hide its ugly. I'm going to cut that off right there. To be people in our lives in such a way that we honor God. And like Daniel, be found with an excellent spirit that we may choose God's way. depending on His strength and consistency day in and day out. The results in our lives and in the life around us will be much more blessed. And the up-close versions of ourselves can be something that we're proud of. Good news is we're different than the buzzard. The buzzard is born a buzzard, and it will die a buzzard. And it will live its life feeding on the dead things because it's a buzzard. And it cannot change its ways. It's not going to become a vegetarian and start eating pulse. It's going to eat on dead things. And it's not going to get any prettier. But we get the chance to be born twice. We get the chance to be born again through Jesus Christ and to live a life of good things and to enjoy the fruits of God's Spirit. Y'all remember Charles Stanley? Great preacher. He says, "We are given light and truth from God not to become more enlightened, not to have greater understanding or be smarter, but that we may have a deeper obedience. When God shows us something, it should deepen our obedience to Him, to live a deeper life in Him, a deeper and more consistent life in Him." So, being a Christian, I guess, let me do some math real quick. I've been a Christian for 40 years. I think this year it's 40 years. That's a long time. I'm learning that there are ups, there are downs. There are some times when you feel totally disconnected. But being a Christian and walking a Christian life is a marathon and not a sprint. I know that's a cliche saying, but there's a lot to it. You know, it requires methodical consistency to make it to the end of a marathon in good shape. Not that I would know. I've never run a marathon. I don't know if anybody in here has, but I don't have the shape or the capacity to run a marathon. But I have run a few amateur 5Ks, you know, fundraisers. And the first one I ran, we started off as a group, and it was just normal people, just us. And I started running, and I was running at a pretty good little clip, you know. I was kind of pulling out ahead of folks. And by the time I got to the first hill, I was gassed. I mean, I was struggling. I was riding what they call the struggle bus. I was hurting. And one of the guys that I had passed early on, an older gentleman, much older than me, he was running a very slow, consistent pace. And he just trotted right past me, and he kept going and kept going. He finished way before I did. Okay, I learned something, all right? So the next race I ran, I started out, ignored the pack. I said, okay, I'm going to do like what I saw. And I started out with a very slow, methodical pace, and just fast enough to where it was probably barely a jog, but enough to where I didn't think I'd ever have to stop and walk, so I could keep up a little bit of the pace. And that slow, consistent pace put me at my best time that I had run. Not that I had any impressive times or anything, but it was a lot better than trying to run and stop and run and stop and be inconsistent. As a matter of fact, I won that race. Okay, wait. I won it in my age group. Okay, I was the only one in my age group. But I got a ribbon regardless. So it just goes to show that being slow, methodical, and consistent in our lives can pay off. So no matter what season of life we're in, whether we feel spiritually high or spiritually low or spiritually bankrupt even, whether we feel we have the energy to spring or just want to lay down, remember God is not done with you until you draw your last breath, until you cross the finish line. God is not done. God's not looking for perfection in you or me. That'd be goofy because He knows perfection from us is impossible. But He is looking for obedience. Steady, consistent, not perfect, obedience. Obedience is possible, and He can bless and honor our obedience. Thank you for your attention.